Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to first start off by thanking the libraries, Healthy Libraries Program for inviting me to speak today. Telehealth, as I'm sure everybody is aware of, is changing the field of medicine right now, secondary to the coronavirus pandemic. It's not a new service, but something that has been more widely adopted in the past several months amongst all of the healthcare industry right now. So not only in the physician side of things, but also for social work, for nursing, for physical therapists, for anybody that is providing clinical care is what telehealth is there for. So today we're going to go through some of the basic health definitions. We're going to talk about what telehealth is, what are the services that are out there. And by the end of the webinar, I am hopeful that everybody will be able to understand the definition of telehealth, identify the definition of synchronous communication, identify at least three requirements of telehealth in the home, list three telehealth providers, and feel confident in your ability to use telehealth technologies. So first, I'd like to start off with just going through the basic definitions of what telehealth is and all of the terminology that can go along with telehealth. So as you can see here, this is a graphic representation of the hierarchy of telehealth. So telehealth is an all-encompassing term at the top of our pyramid, and we're going to go through what its definition is and how this all relates. So telehealth is right at the top, but underneath it composes telemedicine, remote patient monitoring, and mobile health, otherwise known as mHealth. And within telemedicine, the terms synchronous and asynchronous can be used and are used for determining what parts of telehealth you're using. So diving into this a little bit deeper, let's start off talking about telehealth. So again, that's that broad overarching that encompasses all of what telehealth and telemedicine is. Telehealth is the use of telecommunications technology to provide remote delivery of healthcare services and clinical information. This does not include audio-only telephone communications, fax, or electronic messaging alone. It works with the other technology services to provide an overall care for you as the patient. This can be used in conjunction with telemedicine, some of the store and forward technologies, or the remote patient monitoring, all of which we will get into what that actually means. Now, telemedicine is the real two-way electronic audiovisual communication. This facilitates all aspects of the patient's health, and the patient and the healthcare provider are at separate sites. So the provider can either be in their hospital or in their home or at a distant remote site, and you are receiving the services at your convenience in whatever site you choose. It can be at work. It can be in your home. It can, even in this lovely day, be outside. So synchronous versus asynchronous. So this refers under the telehealth telemedicine technologies. So video conferencing is what's referred to as synchronous. So a live, two-way, interactive, audio-visual communication that's connecting the patient and the provider at the same time. The encounter is happening in real time. This is what you would refer to as a regular doctor's visit, where the doctor is talking to you, and this is what we call synchronous at the same time. The other is store and forward, or asynchronous technology. So this is the transmission of medical information to the provider. This can be digital images, any home test results, such as if you're monitoring your blood sugar, if you have diabetes, you're monitoring your oxygen saturations or your pulse ox at home, you're monitoring your weight, you're monitoring your blood pressure. These are some of the things that can be recorded. These can be documents from other providers or something that you wanted to share with your provider, or even pre-recorded videos. The data transfer takes place over a period of time and is done by secure email transmission. A Again, there are a couple of more definitions. So remote patient monitoring. So remote patient monitoring refers to the use of mobile medical devices to perform routine tests and send data to medical professionals on a regular basis to a provider without the need for travel. This goes your heart rate, your weight, your blood pressure for your clinical provider to make a decision. This is, allows for care providing to individuals and families at their place of residence. So instead of going into the office for blood pressure checks or even weight checks or to manage and adjust medications, a lot of this can be done remotely. And as you see in the picture here, those are some of the devices. It can be included in Fitbits or the wearable watches, such as an Apple Watch or a wearable mobile health technology, a insulin sensor that many people with diabetes now wear that monitors their blood sugars, blood pressure cuffs, oxygen saturation readings. So these are all included in some of what we call our remote patient monitoring technologies. There's also mobile health, or what's called mHealth. This is health education, information, or other services that are available via a mobile device. These can be support groups or even online discussion groups. Another term that you may or may not hear is what's called the hub and spoke model. The hub is the provider that is providing the telehealth consultation, and the spoke is the patient that's receiving the telehealth services. So the hub can be at any site, and the spoke and the patient can be at any site. Different aspects of telemedicine. I think this is important to understand. So we can talk as clinicians, we can talk to other clinicians, communicating through email, video, or both. Some of the services that this can be is teledermatology, radiology, surgical peer mentoring, emergency trauma, and ICU level of care, where we have a program here at Stony Brook Medicine that allows us to speak to other hospital in the critical care setting to allow us to help to care for patients in other hospitals. This can also be used from clinician to patient. So we have video, phone, email, remote wireless monitoring, and just using the internet. And we can care for chronic conditions, medication management, wound care, counseling, post-discharge follow-up, along with mental health. And then the mHealth technology, or your wearable monitors, your smartphones, mobile apps, video, email, web portals, and games. And this all can be used to serve for health education, monitoring for physical activity, monitoring diet, medication adherence, and as well as cognitive fitness. Now, all of these tools can be integrated into the electronic medical record of your physician's office so that it all goes into your chart so that everybody within the office can see what is going on with your health to provide a better overall clinical care. So I'd like to focus now on preparing for your telehealth visit. So what do you need to do during the week of your telehealth visit? So one of the most important things that you should do is make sure that you have a device that has a video camera and a microphone attached. This can be a mobile phone with video camera capabilities, a laptop computer with a camera built in, or a desktop computer that also has a camera. So I would make sure that your camera is working and that you have tried this out during the week of your visit. Downloading the telehealth software. So when you make a telehealth appointment, many providers will send you an email or a text message with instructions on what to download. Before your visit, please make sure that you are downloading either by Google Play with the Android device or the Apple Store with the Apple device. One of the most common causes of frustration is not remembering the password to get into these devices and having difficulty downloading the software. I would strongly advise in the several days leading up to your visit that you ensure that the correct software has been downloaded to two devices if you're able to, both on your desktop device and if you are able to as well, download to your phone. It is always good to make sure you have a backup available because you never know what technology may work on the day of. I know on the physician side of things, we often have several different programs that we're able to work with on both our laptop and our phone to have a backup system in place in case there are issues on the day of, either with internet connections or with the technology aspect of itself. Consider also who needs to be on the video call. If you are wanting a family member to be present on the video call that helps take care of you as the patient, or you are caring for another person, make sure that they are also included and that they have the appropriate software downloaded as well on their phone, and ensure that the clinician knows that there may be multiple people on the phone call or on the video visit itself if they're in the home. If they're not able to come to your home due to restrictions on travel or isolation, make sure that they have the software and that they have gone through these recommendations as well. So what do you need to do the day before your visit? So I would again make sure that your video camera and your microphone on your device are working and that you practiced turning them on and ensuring that you have the good picture for you. Make sure that you can access the telehealth platform, the email that was provided to you. Make sure that you can log into the system and that you know what you're supposed to do the day before having your telehealth visit. Confirm timing and what check-in process may be for the visit. Every office may have a different recommendation for what they'd like you to have available. It may be a license, it may be some form of identification to make sure you are who you say you are, and ensuring any forms that need to be filled out are done and uploaded as needed. There are some that you have to click waivers through, and so if you can do that earlier than your visit, that may speed up the process of having the visit done. Again, confirm any support person for the visit will either be physically present or available as an addition to the visit. Again, make sure they have the instructions on how to download the app and have done so. So, preparing for the day of the visit. Again, the biggest thing is making sure whatever device you are using for the visit is working and/or charged, that your Wi-Fi and internet connection is working, you have the confirmation email or directions on how to access the appointment easily available. A lot of times it's a link that you'll have to click to in order to access the specific appointment time. So please make sure you read your email or whatever information is provided by your doctor's office carefully so that you understand how best to log in for your appointment. Where you choose to have the and take place in the appointment is up to you. I would recommend locating a private and quiet space to have the visit. A place that you should choose should be well lit, and a window should not appear behind you as it will cause your face to be very shadowed. If able to, you can look at several different places around your house to see where some of the lighting and where would be most convenient to have these visits. I know in times of the pandemic right now, there are issues in terms of multiple people being in the home, and privacy can sometimes be at a minimum. If you anticipate other people being present, make sure that you have a way of ensuring either your privacy, if the visit is not something that you want others being able to listen to, ensuring where you can go to have a quiet and safe space in order to discuss your medical concerns with your provider. And then be prepared to have any medications you are taking with you for the available for the visit. This may include also any over-the-counter medications you are taking, including vitamins. This is an opportunity to have the physician take a look at all of the dosings and the pills that you have and how you're actually storing any medications that you may have. And so I would have those readily available in case your provider asks to see them. I'd like to continue by talking about what we are doing here at Stony Brook Medicine and some of the resources that are available in our community. At this time, you are able to connect with your Stony Brook provider by a regular appointment line to schedule a visit. Only established patients are able to schedule a telehealth appointment at this time. Once you schedule the appointment, an email confirmation will be sent, and we'll have instructions on how to download Microsoft Teams, which is the video conferencing platform that we at Stony Brook Medicine are using, onto your electronic device. We do have interpreter services available for many different languages, and if you need one, please allow the scheduler to know when you are booking the appointment. They'll be added in as a call-in, so it will not be a live interpreter that is able to see your face, but they are available as a phone conference and be available for interpretation services. This is a sample of the email that you'll be receiving from Stony Brook Medicine from our telehealth department. Again, Stony Brook Medicine is offering telehealth visits to allow you to receive our quality care from the safety and privacy of your home. You can call one of our representatives if you have a question about connecting through Microsoft Teams. And again, the number for that is 631-638-0597, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. These are the tips that are sent out to make sure that you are prepared for your telehealth visit and has clickable applications within the email for you to make sure that your telehealth visit goes smoothly. There are also in English and Spanish helpful tips on what to expect and preparing for your telehealth visit, as well as a short video that will talk about the flow of a normal telehealth visit for Stony Brook Medicine. There are other community options for telehealth available right now. These are for CityMD, for urgent care offices in and around your area. And again, this is not a comprehensive list. These are just some of the places in and around our area that we know are offering telehealth services. CityMD, Northwell Go Health Urgent Care, as well as PM Pediatrics for our pediatric population. If you go to their websites, you are able to click on telehealth visits and schedule telehealth visits with the providers. There are also other telehealth platforms available that are similar to urgent care, but also provide routine care for you as the patient. These can be TeleDoc, American Well, or Doctors on Demand. Again, this list is not comprehensive. We do not endorse or have any relationship with the above companies, but these are different options that are available to you as the consumer to be able to have these visits. Thank you very much. We hope you stay safe during this time, and I welcome any questions.
We're also hoping that you participate in a brief post-webinar survey. I'll be also sending that in the chat. If everyone could complete the survey, it'd be really helpful. And if you have any ideas for future webinar topics that you'd be interested in, there's a option that you could type. So if there's anything you'd like to hear from us in the future, your suggestions would be really helpful. So I just sent that in the chat. So Allison just asked, to use telehealth, is there a minimum age?
No. So if you are less than 18 years of age and scheduling and wanting to schedule an appointment, I believe the adolescent population is able to have their own telehealth visit. And this is dependent on the institution and the office practices. They can be scheduled at any age, and we do pediatrics from birth up until they're 18 years of age, and they can have telehealth appointments. For the younger population, though, they do need to have a parent present or a provider present that can be there to witness the encounter and to also answer any questions that the child might not be able to either voice to us or to have. But they are able to have the same video visits as the adult population. The adolescent population is also able to have video visits, and the parent, I believe, needs to agree that the adolescent can have a video visit without the parent present, but the older adolescent population is allowed to have their own video visit without a parent being present. And then adult population, as we know, can have their own visit.
Any other questions? So Jessica asks, aside from medical emergencies, are there certain situations where telehealth is not appropriate?
Absolutely. Thank you for your question, Jessica. There are certain times where telehealth is not appropriate. And those, again, any medical emergencies, like Jessica said, are not appropriate for telehealth. Other events would be where you need to either have a test done by your provider, such as a throat test, a throat culture for looking at strep throat, or when there is needs for a hands-on physical exam, and your provider can help decide if telehealth is the right appointment for you. I would start off by calling the provider and saying why you want the telehealth visit. A telehealth visit can always be started, and then if there's some concerning signs or something that needs to be changed, your healthcare provider can decide what needs to be done for the next steps. Especially as offices are now opening, this is something that can be done a lot more readily.
So someone else asked if you could talk about other languages and how that works with telehealth more.
Yes, so we are very fortunate for, at least at our institution, we have the ability to have a three-way calling system with the provider and the patient, and then also our interpreter services, which can be used in multiple languages. It works the exact same as a three-way phone call where their interpreter is on the line and will interpret in a confidential manner all of what is being said back and forth to the patient. The interpreter service we use are medical grade interpreters and have can understand medical terminologies and are able to interpret back and forth for the patient and the provider. It should be known to the provider that you would require telehealth interpreter services prior to the visit so that the provider can be prepared to have our interpreter service on the line.
I know that there are a few other apps besides Stony Brook Medicine that offer telehealth with additional languages. One of them is Live Health Online, which is downloadable through the Apple Store for iPhones and I think the Google App Store for Androids. And in that app, if you go to settings, you can click a preference by language and it'll show available doctors who speak that language. However, if there are no doctors available who speak that language, then there's no one available for a telehealth visit in your language. So certain apps offer that kind of service. So it would just have to be, you would have to look through the telehealth apps and see if they offer that. service. So it varies by provider.
It's good to know. I see that Allison asked if there are ASL interpreters. That is a very good question. At this time at Stony Brook, I do not have the answer. I will have to get back to you with that.
So what about accessibility for those with disabilities for telehealth?
For those with disabilities, I believe telehealth really lends itself to serving that community. One, you do not have to leave your home, so there's not a problem with traveling. And then also you can have multiple caregivers either on the line or in the same environment. So it depending on what the disability is, you may need an additional support person to be able to either move the camera or set up the visit with you. We don't at this time have anybody available to go to the home to ensure that is everything is set up, but we do have people available to walk you through setting up the appointment and how to make sure the technology is working for you. But there'd be no traveling involved. So I think that really does lend a better use for telehealth technologies for our disabled patient population.
Any other questions? Again, if you have a moment, please fill out the post-webinar survey. It's just really trying to see if the webinar was effective and if you have any additional questions or topics, maybe that you don't feel comfortable asking now, but you still want information about. And it's 100% completely anonymous. And I will send it in the chat to everyone again.
I'd like to thank everybody for having me here today, and I hope that you were able to learn a little bit about what telehealth and telemedicine is and how it can be applicable for your life. I hope that everybody is staying safe during this time and know that we are working hard to ensure your safety and that we ensure that you are continuing to achieve the highest level of care during this time, even though we can't be always physically present with you.
All right, so yeah, we thank you so much for attending this webinar. I would just like to thank Dr. Holfish for creating this presentation for us and making the time available to talk to everyone. We'd also like to thank the American Heart Association of Long Island for their support in making it possible for us to create webinars and do work with public libraries. If you have any questions for us that are health related, and you just want some information, feel free to email us at stonybrookmedicine@healthy_libraries_program@stonybrookmedicine.edu. That is the email for our program, and I've sent it in the chat box. We can gather any evidence-based health information questions you have on any topic, if it's COVID-19, sun protection, if you have a question maybe about diabetes, really any health-related question, we can answer that for you as we're social work students, public health and nursing students, and that's our goal. So feel free to contact us with any questions, suggestions, comments on the webinar, and please fill out the post-webinar survey. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time, everybody.
All right. Take care.